You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
The Palestinian village of Belen has launched an unprecedented lawsuit against two Canadian companies in Canadian courts. Their case alleges that the Montreal-based companies, Green Park and Green Mount, are acting as agents of Israel by constructing, marketing, and selling residential buildings in the occupied territories. Under international law, settlements in occupied lands are illegal. The village hopes to convince the Canadian Supreme Court to order the companies to halt the construction. Mark Arnold is the Canadian counsel for the village of Belen, and he joins me this morning from his home in Toronto. Good morning, Mark, and welcome to Red Eye.
Good morning. What a pleasure to be interviewed this morning.
What have these two companies been doing in the West Bank?
Well, I think it must be made very clear at the outset that this lawsuit has nothing to do with another company, another Canadian company known as Canada's largest home builder that has the same name. These particular companies are called Green Park International Incorporated and Green Mount International Incorporated. They are Quebec registered, Quebec domiciled companies with an address for business in Quebec. And that's why there is a Canadian connection between them and their construction activities on the lands of the village of Belen.
And what are they constructing?
They're essentially constructing apartment buildings and condominiums. I was over in the village in May to conduct my own fact-finding mission together with my wife, Joyce Weinman, who is also a lawyer, and we went to the construction sites. They have signs up with their name on it, and it's quite obvious that they're in the process of constructing apartments and condominiums on the lands of Belen.
Are these quite substantial construction projects?
Well, I mean, they're apartment buildings. It's hard for me to say if they're substantial or not. Within the context of the construction in that neighborhood, it's consistent with other construction. I can't tell you, because I don't know, whether they're involved in the construction of other buildings in that neighborhood. But I do know that there is ongoing construction.
And to whom are they selling these homes or marketing these homes and apartments?
Well, the allegation and the claim, and again, these allegations have been unproven yet in a court of law, is that the housing is being made available to residents or citizens of the State of Israel.
So the case against Green Park International and Green Mount is based on articles from the Fourth Geneva Convention. Could you explain a bit about what that convention stipulates, and I guess Canada, the Canadian government's involvement that make them relevant to Canadian law?
Yes, of course. And following the Second World War and the atrocities that took place during that time, the countries of the world under the umbrella of the United Nations got together and passed what is called the Fourth Geneva Convention. One of the provisions of that convention, very, very simply put, says that an occupying state or an occupying power, as a result of an act of war, cannot replace the existing population with its own population. It's as simple as that. But the interesting thing is that the Fourth Geneva Convention, which is international law, has been incorporated into Canadian law through specific Canadian statutes. One act called the Geneva Conventions Act that expressly brings that in and makes it part of Canadian law, and the second statute is the War Crimes and Crimes Against Humanities Act that also brings that specific clause of the Fourth Geneva Convention into Canadian law. And most interesting, it says that anyone, any Canadian individual or company violating that law, the law will reach them and touch them. And that's why we are hopeful that a Quebec court will rule the conduct of Green Park to be unlawful. We then are faced with the hurdle of taking that Canadian court judgment to an Israeli court for enforcement. So it's kind of a one-step, two-step process.
And are these violations of the Geneva Convention also considered war crimes in any way or not?
They are under the War Crimes and Crimes Against Humanities Act. There is a definitional link to that conduct as a war crime under that statute. Again, emphasizing these are allegations that have not been proven in a court of law. The law certainly in Canada appears to be on side on that point.
And the defendants, these two companies, what precise role do they have in relation to these violations of an occupying power?
Well, the allegation is that they are acting as de facto agents of the State of Israel in the construction of those buildings. We have documentary evidence in the form of contracts that connects them into the construction, and we hope to embark on further investigation on that issue.
And this is referring to land which the Israeli state occupied in its war of 1967.
That's right. It arises from the occupation that took place in the West Bank in 1967, the occupation that continues today of those village lands on the West Bank.
Now, success in the case in Canada, assuming the best result, couldn't be enforced. It would require, would it not, the State of Israel itself to comply with a legal decision of a Canadian court?
Yes, that's right. And interestingly, the Israeli court in a similar case called Bargil a few years ago refused to hear the case, considering that case of settlement and occupation to fall within the political sphere as opposed to the sphere of the courts. We've gone to the court in Canada, in Quebec. We're saying to that court, these are Canadian companies. They are alleged to have done wrong in a foreign country. Issue a Canadian court order stopping them, stopping that activity, insist that they remove those construction, those building construction, and go away. But once we've got that order, if we're successful in Quebec, we then must go to Israel for enforcement. The Quebec or Canadian court order, the enforcement stops at the boundary.
Can
we have to go to Israel with it.
Can the Canadian court also order award damages?
Yes, a Canadian court can award damages. I want to make it very clear that when I met with the village council, they are not prepared and have not sued for damages in exchange for land. That is a non-issue for them. Their land has no value with respect to damages. However, in the claim, we've alleged or asserted what's called punitive damages. That is a sum of money meant to punish the wrongdoer. In this case, if we're successful, the defendants. So the village is very conscious of not transferring or not being seen to transfer land for money. That's not on the table.
And of what interest is this case to other countries outside of Israel?
Well, I mean, primarily, the impact will be on Canadian companies who may find themselves in a situation of doing wrong in foreign countries. I consulted recently with respect to a massacre in a village in another country of the world at the behest of a Canadian company whose names I cannot mention at this juncture. We're investigating that case. In other words, yet again, another Canadian company alleged to be doing wrong in a foreign country. This claim is unprecedented. If we're successful, that could have a potential effect on the conduct of Canadian businesses abroad.
And it could set precedents then, as you're saying, for other foreign companies? What about win or lose?
Well, no, the precedent would be with respect to Canadian companies. Remember, Canadian law can't touch foreign companies conducting business in other countries. Canadian law, this particular law, touches Canadians, Canadian companies who are conducting their business in foreign countries, not foreign companies conducting that type of business.
But other countries, for example, England or France or the United States, have companies, are themselves also, that operate in Israel, have laws which I assume are similar, seeing as so many countries, there's hardly anyone that didn't sign the Geneva Conventions.
Yeah, but you see, of course, the United States is a signatory to the Fourth Geneva Convention. The problem is the jurisdiction of international law on the one hand, the jurisdiction of Canadian law on the other hand. International law, it becomes enforced through cooperation between countries. The International Court of Justice, for example, has ruled illegal the barrier fence in Israel, yet the state of Israel refuses to comply with that, and there appears to be no way to sanction that. On the other hand, a domestic court, a court in Canada having jurisdiction over a Canadian company, has the ability to fine or to penalize or to issue an injunction. With respect to foreign law, I'm no expert in American law or British law. I expect their laws would be similar. But I can tell you in Canada, we have brought into Canadian law the Fourth Geneva Convention.
If you're a company that is a Canadian company is doing something illegal under Canadian law in a foreign country, and it is not enforced, that decision is not enforced by Israel, that doesn't in any way then limit, let's say, that company violates an injunction of a Canadian court, then they would be liable to contempt of court, presumably?
Liable to contempt of court in Canada, provided they are here physically in Canada. One of the big questions here is why did these two companies register in Quebec? I know nothing about them. I don't know whether they conduct, with respect to their business in Canada, I don't know if they have any business in Canada. We may find out that they're a shell company. We really don't know.
So what are the next steps in the case?
Well, I can tell you that the defendants have retained legal counsel in Montreal. Procedurally, the lawyers on both sides are to set up a schedule of court events going forward. We should know that schedule somewhere between mid-August to the end of August. I expect that there will be preliminary attacks on our claim, specifically on issues of law. I expect there will be attacks on whether or not the Quebec court is the proper forum to hear this case. So that's what I'm anticipating, and we'll probably be into court within the range of 3 to 6 months.
And are these hearings starting, what level of court hearing is this starting at in Quebec?
This is at the Quebec Superior Court level. The judges appointed there are federally appointed judges who sit in the province. Success or failure at that level would take us to the Quebec Court of Appeal, and success or failure at that level would then take us to the Supreme Court of Canada. So we're really at what lawyers would call the trial level or the preliminary level of court.
Well, we'll keep an eye on this case for sure, and we're very glad that it's been initiated. Thanks for speaking with us this morning, Mark.
Again, my pleasure. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. I've been speaking with Mark Arnold. He is the Canadian Legal Counsel for the Palestinian Village of Belin. And if you want to keep informed of what's happening in this, there's a website. It's Belin, spelled B-I-L-I-N, belin-village.org.